If you have your Bibles, why don't we turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 2. We're going to read verse 1 to 12. I was trying to find a different verse, Russell Bartlett, but I couldn't find another one. So this is, I'm going to talk about Russell in a minute, so I'm giving you fair warning, Russ. But this is a passage that, when I was going through accreditation, Russell really helped us kind of embrace. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain, Paul writes. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our heart. As you know, and God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from people, whether from you or from others. And though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you've become very dear to us. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We work night and day, so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure and upright and blameless our conduct was towards you, believers. And as you know, we dealt with each of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Heavenly Father, as we come to your scriptures, we pray that we might have open hearts to hear what you might have to say, not just to Miranda, but to us all. And Lord, that you might use this text and this time to encourage us to live lives worthy of God. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's a lot of talk nowadays, or maybe always, about the importance of leaders, especially leaders talking about how important they are. And from whether it's a prime minister or a CEO, whether it's your footy club, or whether it's your local school, it seems that the solution to our woes is to have a strong, and that's the word everyone uses, isn't it? Strong leader. And these leaders love to nudge and pivot and like to take tipping points, and they work for strategies and culture making that'll move us from being good to great. Could I get any more leadership book titles in there? As you listen to those catchphrases, which, you know, hopefully most of you are completely disinterested in maybe, but as you listen to that, do you wonder, like me, what about the people? It's all this conversation about leaders and strategies and where you're going, and you wonder, hang on, what about the people? What about them? Because there is such a thing as leaders loving their strategies and their organisations so much that they forget to love their people. And to paraphrase a theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, the person who loves their dream of community will destroy community, but the person who loves those around them will create community. And leaders can be like that. They have a dream for their organization or their community, and they love that dream and pursue that dream, and it turns out it crushes the people who are trying to catch up and make that dream happen. And in church, pastors can lead like this. We can lead for increasing growth. We can work on our comms and our platform so we can nudge and pivot. And as we do that, what about the people? What about loving people? Especially in the church, it would have been, you thought, core business. But sometimes going to church feels like it's another machine, another mission that I've got to contribute to and work hard for. What about the people? And so a simple message today for our church, not just for Miranda, is this. Don't forget the people. Don't forget to pass to people. And Paul in this passage captures the heart of what he thinks it's like to pass to people. He says it really delightfully. I just picked this book up, this Bible up from the pew there. It's not quite the one I was used to, but anyway, it's pretty much right. Though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, we were gentle among you like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you've become very dear to us. And a little further down in verse 11, we dealt with each of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. There's such a delightful, sensitive nature to the heart of Paul. I'm like man, I can't see when I take my glasses off. I'm like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children, like a mother, like a father. I love you so much. You are so dear to me. And people need that kind of love and that kind of care in their life. Anne and I were in neonatal ward at Flinders, and we were going through the hardest hours of our life. Anne's my wife, for those who don't know that. And I was sitting beside Anne's bed and across from two little cribs. And I look up and I see my dear pastor, Russell Bartlett. Now, in this place, at that time, only close friends and family can get past reception. They don't just let anyone through the door. That would make sense. And it turns out that they let pastors through the door too. And it was a genuine surprise to me to look up and see Russell standing there. I don't know how you felt, Russell. You didn't look like you felt too comfortable. But it was a genuine surprise to see it, probably the hardest point of my life, a person that I'd count as my pastor, rocked up and cared for us. A little later, another pastor rocked up. I feel really pastored. John Field. And then a little later, Neil and Lynn Ryan, who were the pastors at this church at that time. And they sat with us. They were allowed through the door, and they sat with us and cared for us. Pastors can sit at the intersection of some of the most challenging times of our lives and hold that story of whatever you're going through and bring into that space what God is doing through Jesus. They can help you in some pretty serious challenges, or they can bring challenge when you're least wanting it. The interesting thing about being a pastor is most other professionals have to ask before they rock up. Pastors don't. That's really interesting, isn't it? A pastor can think, you know what? I haven't seen this person for a while. I'll give them a call. A pastor can look across the church and think, oh, they don't look like they're tracking too well. I'm going around. Pastors can do that. You tell me anyone else in a profession that can do that kind of thing. And then they come into the space and they, like Paul, encourage and comfort and urge you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Thankfully, that's not just the domain of accredited, ordained pastors. God actually gives us all that opportunity to care for one another like this. But it would be a strange thing, wouldn't it, if you went to a church and your pastor didn't do that? We would think that was odd, that a pastor wasn't beside a bed, wasn't at the front door at certain times. Because that's actually what pastors do. Paul says we pastor people by sharing the gospel of God. We loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God. You know, life with Jesus is such good news. It's not easy. Many Christians in this room know that is true. But it's always better. It's always better to live a life worthy of God. And a pastor knows that, has it in their bones. We see it. We see the difference between when people choose a different way to God's way and then when they choose God's way. And Paul says, I am so glad to share with you the gospel of God, these people he loves. And we know Paul did that by preaching publicly, probably maybe a bit like this. He did it from house to house. He did it from person to person. And as he did it, he saw lives change. He was so encouraged by the Thessalonians because they changed. He said a little bit later in this very same chapter, you didn't just take my words as if they were human words. You received them as if they were from God and applied them to your life. And it changed your life. And they grew. So pastors pastor people by sharing the gospel of God, this compelling story of life with Jesus, and not just from this spot. One of the things that I believe in my life is I'm okay at preaching here. I'm much better one-to-one in small groups where it comes backwards and forwards. For me, this is okay. You get to talk to lots of people at once. They have to endure you. But when I speak to you, just you, and we're talking together, then actually I find that that's such a rich, fruitful time. You know, in ministry, the programs that we put so much effort into, they'll fade. Our sermons, people will not remember. The service order will not matter if you messed it up. The songs, including the songs. And Miranda did an amazing job with this staging here, yeah? And probably what you're always all asking is, how the heck did she do that with the books? But sorry, Miranda, we won't remember that. The people we invest in today actually grow tomorrow. What people remember is what time you spent with them. And how you lived with them and understood their life story and held that before God and helped them follow Jesus. One of the encouragements to me is how the people that I've shared the gospel with over the years are now impacting and influencing my life now. We've got some interns that trained in ministry here in this church when I was youth pastor. And now Dee runs a ministry where my 18-year-old is part of, and she's impacted by her teaching. I've been going along to these Hindley Street schoolies things. Eventually I'll get out on Hindley Street. I just got to figure out how to come to church on the next day. But what's terrific is the people who are running it are the same people that were sitting in groups with me more than a decade ago. Sarah was part of, who runs the Hindley Street program, Sarah Lim. She was part of Big Week Out, in a Big Week Out group that was run, I don't even know, a long time ago. That's the delight that we see as pastors. Invest in people. They grow and then they actually influence and impact you later. I mean, it must be amazing to be Barry Lyons. And by the way, it might make you feel old too, Barry, but having Miranda ordained today must be just a really real delight to you. So we pastor people by sharing the gospel of God, but he goes on, doesn't he, Paul, and he says that we're delighted to share not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. We pastor people by sharing our lives as well. I need to say it can be hard for pastors to share our life. We have our own challenges. Lots of them, it turns out. And there are so many people. It's hard to be vulnerable here. I don't even know what it might be today. When you've got 300 people out there, that's hard work. It's hard enough being vulnerable to yourself, let alone in front or with people. And figuring out what parts of my challenge is helpful and what is not helpful takes its own work. I know this. It's easier to lead a church than to join a church. I have led in a church in a way that has kept people at a distance. I'm outgoing enough that you probably wouldn't have noticed. I'm friendly enough that you wouldn't know what I'm holding back. But I knew. I knew. I knew that I was nervous about trusting my heart and my life to a crowd of people. Sometimes you get proven right why you should be nervous. Because people can be unkind with your heart and your life. But that's hard. It's hard for a pastor to be part of a church and share their life as well. Now you become a professional reverend, Miranda. You could even have the greater temptation of letting that distance you. But the problem a pastor has is when you lead like that and pastor like that, it is powerless. It's powerless. You can have all your plans, but if you do not give from your life as well, it is without power. It is. Pastors have far more influence when they join the church. They love their people and are loved by their people. Coming here was a big deal for me. I was a youth pastor here, and then I went away, and then I've come back, right? And coming here was a real big deal. Because the first time around, I worked hard to lead but not join. And coming back, I was like, Jason, you got to join this time. You got to love and let people love. You got to share your life as well. That leading as a pastor is not something you do to the church or for the church. You do it with the church. And that if the church is going to change, then it actually means I'm going to have to change too. Henri Nguyen says this. He says a lot of useful things in this particular book, but he says this from the book In the Name of Jesus. How can people truly care for their shepherds and keep them faithful to the sacred task when they do not know them and so cannot deeply love them? Many of you get to choose who gets to love you and how much people get to know about you. Pastors have limited choices on that. We need to join the church. We need you to love us. This church has loved. Has loved me over years in many ways. So while I struggle to join you, the church has embraced me anyway. Thank you. Miranda, you're well on the way to having, well, more than on the way to having that heart. But between you and me, oh my goodness, it's hard work. It is hard work. It's hard to lead and have authority and responsibility and to be vulnerable. Very hard. Churches have all the same demands as regular organisations. They've got staff, they've got buildings, they've got bills, they have politics, they have issues. Churches need to make plans and achieve their budgets. They need to act. But let me ask you this. What kind of church do you want to be part of? Do you want to be part of one that you feel like you're in a machine? Where they're just rolling on to some incredible destination? Or do you want to be part of a family? A place where people matter? Where you know that the leaders love you? I mean, what do people need when they struggle to belong to a community? The one that you're leading. When somebody says, I can't find a friend here, and you're leading that community, what do they need at that point? Do they need a good plan? A better welcoming system? They need a friend. What do people need when their precious daughter dies from an asthma attack late at night and they only know one person they can call? Because they're from a Catholic background, they think, I'll call Jason and he'll give the last rites to my daughter. What do people need when they discover that their cancer has metastasized and actually they have a due date on their life, which is a lot closer than they thought? What do people need when their choices are leading them away from God? What do people need when their marriage is deep fractures? Here's what I think they need. I think they need a pastor to pastor people. That's what we're called to do. There's a bunch of pastors in this room today. That's what we're called to do. That's what you're called to do. Let's pray. I think Paul would have counted his role in people's lives as an extraordinary privilege. I'm always amazed with Paul that he could achieve so much in so little time. Get the sense, though, that it did cost him. As he gave his life to people, and we know from the story that there were times that people he dearly loved stabbed him in the back and hurt him. Yet still he was delighted to share not just the gospel of God, but his own life as well. Pray for our churches. I pray for those of us who have been called to pastor. Help us to love our people and to let them love us. You're growing us together, our God. Jesus, we know you set apart people for positions of leadership, but they're not set so far apart that they're not together. I pray for Miranda. She's been on a long journey already. She knows in so many ways the cost and the challenge of all that's been said. But I pray that she might know the delight. And the impact. And that she might see increasing amount of fruit through her ministry. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.